All right, we're heading live today, coming back to Strictly Talking Shit, which we're still going to try to do every single week on a Thursday, but doesn't happen all the time, but when we can make it happen, we will make it happen. Let me get my co-host in here today, Adam. Maybe he has to try to join again. Adam, can you try joining? There you go. What is Adam is going to be on? What is company or what are company things? Thank you. Thank you for the nice hoodie. What's up, Adam?
Yo.
Yeah, we're talking about company things today. Company. Before everybody gets bored.
I don't like the consistency of Adam's commitment. What do you mean? My commitment's, I'm just as committed as Terrence, okay, here?
He's pretty dialed. I mean, but he's going through a lot of things, and that's why we have our conversations over phone calls all the time. And I think what we want to talk about, Asa Karras, is just company things in general, because a lot of people don't know the ins and outs of a company. And I think, you know, Adam's going through that lately. So I think as a lesson for everybody and for what I've learned as well, we want to share some of our experiences. So we're going to hop right into it. I think the biggest thing that we've been talking about lately of how a company is growing and how to make your company different from other people is to create a mission statement and core values in your company.
I mean, I called you yesterday. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Yes, I called you yesterday about it because we have frustrations within our company, and like you probably have the same frustrations with some employees, this and that, and we discuss it, and being able to bounce things off of you, that's a business owner as well, with employees is good, man. You I get to learn from you and the things that you've made mistakes on and things that you've learned from. So a mission statement is something that I'm looking into right now, and you've done it for what, about a year?
Yeah, I've done it for about almost a year, maybe about 8 months or 9 months. I've always known about that, but I don't know a lot of you if you know what mission statements are, but it's essentially what your company is about and what you guys are going for.
Yeah.
Right? If I give you a prime example of mine, my prime example for what I tell my guys when they join Impetus Plumbing and Heating is industry leaders, right? For me, our mission statement is I want to be industry leader. I want to be leading the pack. I want to be leading by example to show everybody that we're not only all talk, that we actually do the work that we talk about, and we could do our consistent training to make sure that we are trained with education, that we know what we're talking about. Yep. So that's one of the biggest things, because, you know, whether I'm doing social media or not, I don't want to be that guy who's just an influencer, but I don't know what the fuck I'm actually doing, right? That's the biggest thing. I want to put money where my words are, words where my money is.
Yeah. Money where my mouth is.
Yeah, money where my mouth is, right? So that's one of the big things I was telling Adam. And when you create a team and you want to really create a team, you want people to know and have a mission statement of why they're staying there. So that's one big thing for me. And I think, you know, for people starting off or starting a company, even if you have a small team, all those things make a difference, and you should be doing those things.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, I was busy today, but it was on my mind all day about what my mission statement should be for our company, and really trying to break it down. Because if you're too busy and you're not focusing on that kind of stuff, then things gonna tear down. You know what I mean? Like you're hardly on the tools now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're never really on the tools. You go out and help when you need to, but you're focusing on the growth of the business and making sure everybody's staying educated and continuously bringing in those clients to make happy. I've been on the tools most of the time this week, and it's really stalled a lot of stuff. So it's tough.
Yeah.
At the same time, I like being on the tools sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, don't you miss it sometimes?
When people do get the taste of the office finally, they find out that being in a management role is actually a lot more different than it really is. And, you know, excuse me for saying that, but a lot of times people will say you're babysitting. And honestly, it's true.
Yeah, it really is true.
And that kind of, when we talk about that, is you're not saying that everybody's a baby, but it's just that there's a reason why you're in management. Because if you weren't babysitting, is the bad word, but if you weren't looking after your guys, and you're saying that you need to help them so much of this and that, then what's your role? Like, that's why you're a manager.
Yeah.
If we didn't have you as a manager, it's not like that guy could be the manager, because he can't do the same thing you do.
But right? technically, What I say to my guys all the time is that I work for them. At the end of the day, as management, we work for them. Our job is to make their jobs easier so that they can go and be successful on their jobs, right? Their job is to be successful on the field and do what they're supposed to do and keep the customers happy. Our job is to really like make sure that they have everything and they're trained enough to be able to do the jobs that they're going into, right? But at the same time, we can't train our guys on absolutely everything. Like, you have to be like, this is your career. You can't expect your employer to train you and pay you to get trained on everything. Man, like, look, I literally here, I have fucking books. I'm still reading fucking books on my spare time when I'm home to learn more. Like, you have to expect your guys to want to learn more every day. Like, and if they don't want to and they expect you to teach them everything, then what's good? You know what I mean? Like,
And it's a different role all the time. Like, what people don't understand is if you ever walk into the office and you start doing management and you start finally figuring out what your manager's going through to plan everybody's day carefully, all that shit, and make sure that, this van's over here, that's why we're all gonna be working in this area, and only this guy can pick it up because this guy's in that certain area, and then you have to do this job because of certain experience. There's so much shit going through in a daily work. And for a lot of people that don't see, especially for Adam, that he's still on the field, he still has to do all that shit, and he still has to do the actual work on the field. So there's a lot of things that if you're an employee and you do have a manager, and if they're still on the field, there's some things that you actually have to look at sometimes, which you don't, because you're not told that, and you don't know any better, which is fine. And it's great if you're listening on here that, hopefully you get a new perspective on those things. But moving back to what we're talking about for, company things, the second thing that we want to talk about after mission statement is core values, which I've learned a lot from our buddies at ProWest. And core values is a really important thing as well. Not only do you have a mission statement, you have a core value of maybe three or four things, maybe even five things of what your company should follow up to as a standard.
I love this guy. Sorry, MKT, one of my apprentices, Mick. I can lean on for everything. Look at him.
Those are the guys that you want. But so for core values, like, prime example, core values of mine is just that we want quality service, the quality work, and superior service. I'll just give you those two examples. For us, that's a real big core value for me, because integrity is a real big game, especially not in just the game of influencing and all that bullshit. It's just that as a person and as a company owner, when we fuck up, I always make sure to go back to that job. And tactical, you're right. Your things you're willing to lose money over, and those are the things I'm willing to lose money over. If we fuck up and we give bad service, we're gonna fucking make sure that job is either for free or very discounted. And if our quality is wrong and we get called out and we find out we did something wrong, we're always gonna call our customers back. For example, we had our apprentices do a, I'm not gonna name who, but we had our apprentices go in and they did a silicone job for a buddy of mine, which we were doing the job. And they were replacing a cartridge. The cartridge became really tight. We had all the problems with them not cleaning all that shit as well, because when we do the work, how to go over and beyond is to also clean the trim as well and clean everything around it. So that wasn't done. And when I went back to the job, I was choked. And I was telling them, this is not the quality that we're looking at. I also found out he did the same one in the same building for a neighbor above. And I called the manager right away, which is Daryl at the time, because Jason's on vacation. I told Daryl to call the customer above and let them know that we have a mistake up there that we're going to go back and fix as well, just to make sure that we give the same quality work that our customers deserve, even if we're losing the money and even if we're driving back. And which is why, going back to what we're talking about, these core values are very important, because now I can follow these rules and I can also lead by example. And when your guys are working or the girls are working, if you have ladies in your company, is that they can always fall back on those certain things and think about what the company is about when they're doing their work.
I'm going to be honest, that that boiler I did last week, I made a mistake myself, and I could easily leave it and it'd be fine, but it's a $600 repair and I'm going back and repairing it myself and letting the customer know I made a mistake and I'm going to fix it and make it right. I didn't even realize I put black iron fittings off the boiler and it's a domestic boiler and I had to change it to stainless and I have to cut it out and pro Pro Press Union and new Pro Press fittings, and they're 2-inch fittings. It's not cheap, right? And stainless steel isn't cheap either. So Like, and if I'm gonna have that kind of core value in myself, I expect the same thing from my guys. If it's not right and you make a mistake, you own it and you go back and do it. And I'll own it and I'll tell all my guys, I made a mistake 100%. I'm going back and fixing it on my time.
Amen,
Right? Like,
amen, brother. Yeah,
yeah.
that's exactly it. But then, so if we have core values of that and everybody starts following that, it's not just you that's going to have that. Everybody's going to feel the same, knowing that this is what our company's about and this is why we're staying in this company. Because,
Lead by example,
yeah,
right?
because the company has that, and then now the manager follows that, and even the owner's going to follow that.
Yep.
That makes a big difference of whether somebody wants to stay at that company or not. When you just talk, it's not just about the wage sometimes. I've learned from a lot of leadership classes that, wage is one thing, but it's called a fair wage, which is really important.
Yeah.
But past the fair wage point, it's really about why people want to stay in the company.
Yeah.
And those are the
The
reasons.
core values and mission statements, probably. Yeah, definitely. And those are the. Oh.
We got a nice little question here. How do you keep your employees motivated to stay on track with giving the highest quality of work call after year after year?
That's a great question.
We're
Great
gonna
question.
be we're actually gonna be getting to that, which is
Yeah.
really interesting. We're diving pretty deep today.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, which is stay tuned, Nick, we want to talk about how to create those kind of cultures so that your employees do start getting those kind of feelings to be motivated. And part of that culture is company meetings. A lot of people think that meetings are not needed. Because we're service guys, we're construction guys, so we're just gonna go fucking in and out and meet maybe once every half a year or a quarter of the year. No, one of the biggest things that I've learned lately that we've been putting a lot of our time into is to make sure that we take that time out, whether we're losing money or not, because we actually have to invest in our guys to make sure that. Oh, nice. I wish I could do that. I'm in my room, I mean, so much shit, but. The important part about that is that when you have these company meetings, you bring in all your guys. And when you bring in all your guys, you can talk about things and bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah.
And when you're bouncing ideas off each other, one thing to keep people motivated is that every input that they have, we're actually changing the way we do things and actually changing the way that whatever they're inputting, we give their voice, even apprentices. We make sure everybody has three things to talk about every meeting. Which, by the way, Daryl and Jason, I forgot to do that this week, but next meeting we're doing that again. So we're giving people everything. Go
I'm
ahead.
guilty. I'm guilty for that. I haven't done a meeting in forever, and me and you talked about that yesterday,
Yeah.
and you did reiterate how important it is, and I didn't realize how important it actually is. And it's something for the new year that is like something I have to implement and get my guys together. And I know my guys, we're Southern Ontario, so my guys live hours, like an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes from the shop sometimes. And I just have to make it on a priority to get us together at least once a month and
Yeah.
sit down and talk about, like you said, mission statement and
Yeah.
our quality, and make sure everybody's on track. And if everybody has problems, brainstorm together and bring the team together. And you've seen success by doing that. And I need to start implementing that myself and my team, and bringing my team a little bit more
You
together.
bring it on slowly, and when we talk about those three things, maybe you can change it to two things at the beginning so it doesn't cross everybody's mind to think about those things.
Yeah.
But as these things come across better, you want everybody to bring to the table because you know that they're paying attention. And that's how motivation starts, because when they're motivated to think for your company, and when they have an input and you change those things according to their input, that's part of a new motivation now that they have. That they actually want to be part of the business because the input that they have is actually taken into account, right?
Yeah.
So that's one way to keep motivation for what you want, Nick. And the thing that we're going to talk about next is roles in a business after these company meetings. So when we build on top of that, there's another side of a business you have to talk about with roles. A lot of tradespeople, what they don't understand and what I fell victim to as well, but as my business grows, I've learned. Is that you have to give certain roles to your guys in the company. And these roles have to be written black and white. Everybody, you have to understand, we're still plumbers at the end of the day. We're not great with computers. We're not great with words. We're all men. We're terrible at fucking communication. So the biggest thing when you do with communication is you have to put these things on black and white. And by giving these roles, is that now there is no, I don't know what I'm doing. There is no, you're not good enough because I said so. It's all on black and white of what you want as a manager or as a business owner, of what you expect from the other guy for them to get a raise. And if you want to go with, so first you're going to do that, which is called maybe an employee sign up, and you talk to them and they sign for what their roles are. And if you want to go further, you can go to the next job. Next part of that is to create development plans. And development plan is a whole nother story. But a quick overview is you do a personal development, you also do a company development. And when you do the development for these people, which I'm trying right now, you actually would see a big difference for people because the company is not only helping the individual develop as a individual for their own personal goals in life, they're actually developing them for the company as well. So it's a win-win situation. And that's when you keep your guys motivated because as a company, you care about them and you want them to grow, not just in the company, but as a person.
Yeah. We used to do that in the hall. When I was with Black and McDonald, every 3 months you'd sit down and you go over what you wanted to learn and what they wanted from you, and like just understanding that. And I saw Expert Plumbing and Drains join here, and the things he does with his guys and the amount of training and get-togethers, like every 2 weeks they're doing meetings and training, and he has someone that's on site that trains their guys in a classroom. Like, that's bringing guys together too. You're not only giving value in a meeting, but you're bringing the guys together to learn together.
Yeah.
Right. And then the guys are going to hold each other accountable.
It's true. So they'll talk to each other and there's a chance for them to communicate.
Yeah.
But if you don't do that and you keep just having your guy butt fuck over there, there is no chance for them to meet each other other than electronically.
Yep.
Yeah, we all communicate electronically, but nothing beats a face-to-face interaction, especially when you're building a team. That is so important because they actually feel like family. And again, the motivation comes from when you have a team. You grow with a team. You don't grow individually.
Yeah.
A company never grows because of one person. And tactical is right. Like, your meetings have to be valuable. You don't go into a fucking meeting and just say, hey, what are you going to talk about today?
Plan your shit.
You have to make sure that some problems we've had, right? For us, we bring problems that we've had. You know, a customer was being like this. How do we deal with this situation? Blah, blah, blah. So those things are very important.
Well, it's crazy because, like, you know, I'm a plumber 10 years in, 9 years into the trade. I'm still learning plumbing, but I'm also trying to learn how to be a businessman and run a business and learn how to be a leader and learn how to be a manager and learn how to quote jobs and learn how to do all that. And then when you're trying to do too much, you lack in certain things. So you got to kind of reel yourself back. And that's where I'm at now. I'm about 3 years in. I'm reeling myself back. And I'm like, what have I done wrong with my team? And I always look at myself first when my team makes a mistake and how I could have done something better for them. You know what I mean? I don't really blame them for much. I go, how could I have prepared them better?
Yeah.
And I'm a little soft on my guys. I have to admit it. I'm kind of soft on my guys and I expect a lot from them, but I need to be better myself, bringing my team members together and creating a community and holding them accountable.
No, 100%.
So
100%. Yeah. I hope everybody listening is, you know, jotting some notes down. I think today we're going pretty damn deep about what you should do for a business or what you should expect from a business. Because these are things that a good business does have.
Yeah.
If you don't see those things, you have to understand that no matter how much money you're making, you're going to be always a workhorse because it ain't going to grow with the fact that they don't have these things in place.
Yeah.
You know, that's how Renai grows. That's how, because I've learned leadership from one of Renai's courses as well that they brought in a guy, but that's how all the big companies grow. It's not built on the fact of one guy that we keep talking about before.
Yeah. How long did it take? Like a month and a half?
Adam's is a different situation.
Yeah, mine's a different situation.
Adam,
my situation, basically, I was brought into Arela to start a plumbing division, and we already had a big contract where I could get 10 guys on the road tomorrow, and they were just going to feed me work. So I came on in about a month and a half, figured out how to do stuff, and I had a guy the next day. I hardly knew how to do the work that they wanted us to do in their programs and everything. And I was already pulling a guy and trying to train him when I hardly knew what was going on. But we jumped fast, man. 3 years, we're at six guys. So you, in a different hand, you started by yourself in a truck.
Yeah.
Like, how long did it take you to finally decide, you know what, I need a guy?
About two and a bit years.
Yeah.
2 years and a bit. That's when I was thinking that, which is a good question, actually. We'll dive really quick into that before we go more about the company side.
Yeah.
It comes down to the fact of when you know you have too much work and you need to start training guys to pass it down. When does that happen? That happens when you're working way too much. So if you're having your 14-hour, 16-hour, 17-hour days, there has to be a stop to that, right? You can pound that. You can take that shit to Pound Town for fucking a year. But when you finish that first year and you find out that you're starting to gas out, you have to know that this is the time, because we talked about that with other people yesterday, another company owner for electrical company. It's just that he needs to know that as he's getting busier, you have to, one, up your costs, and two, you have to start saying no. And by the time you up your costs, you can finally get less clients, which is what you actually want, because you don't want the cheap clients anymore. You want to slowly weed them out. And when you do that and you charge more, you'll have the extra time to train them.
Yeah.
Because if you kept doing that job for that cheap cost, you're always going to be thinking at the back of your mind, I can't hire this other person, because then he won't know what he's doing and I can't train him. But the way to fix that, raise your costs. And then that's when you need to know how you're going to hire the next guy.
I've just done that, actually. I didn't really raise them. I changed my costs. And I actually had a customer tell me that my prices were absolutely insane. And I broke it down to him and apologized to them. I'm sorry that you feel that way. And then broke it down to them. And then they just came back to me and said my prices were insane. And that was about it. I didn't reply back from there. Right. But like,
we had that lately as well. And honestly, we gave her honest feedback. We have the pie chart that I put up, which I'll put out again, actually, for people who are looking at it. I think it's a very great chart that you show your customers that, you know, there's just things we explain in a few shows back. It's just all about all the expenses that come in.
Yeah,
there's people just don't understand fucking expenses. They don't understand the fans. They don't understand our tools, sick days, admin, dispatch, van upkeep. You know, the list just fucking goes on. There's so many fucking things to think about.
And you have less. You actually have less overhead than me. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You have less overhead than me. We have an actual building, an office, like a girl in the office, like full time. Like we have.
Well, I have an office too. Relax.
Your office is like a storage container, bro.
It's a nice office.
It is.
Until we fix it up. Yeah. But that bottom part is great for putting all their stuff in.
No, of course.
But anyways, let's get back on track about company things as well. I think more company things that people need to know. Maybe some of you have watched my stories lately. I think Adam might have known more about that. You've seen us in the meetings. And when we did our meeting, we've actually been rolling this out for the past 6 months. And this, what we've been doing are called, we call it mock trials because we took it away from suits. And what we do is I create these scenarios, which I get Jason to do now. But these scenarios that I create, I create scenarios based on experiences we've had with customers. Yep. And what we do is these scenarios, I choose an employee to be a customer and I choose another employee to be the technician. Mm-hmm. And these guys have to play it role for role. You know, and we give a certain dialogue up to a certain point when they enter the door. But as soon as the problem arises and everything goes, we call it both open dialogue. Mm-hmm. So this other employee can be a cunt for all he wants to be, because he can literally try to be a customer while this other technician is trying to calm this customer down and fix a situation. And then from there, we go from A to Z that they have to go with the pricing, go with all the procedures, make sure they hit all the points, blah, blah, blah. And then when they're done, see you later, plumber skater. And then when they're done, then we have our whole company talk about the goods and the bads of what they've done. So now not only do our guys get the skill in front of everybody to not be fearful and be able to do public speaking because they have to talk to in front of us and talk in front of a pretend customer. They also learn that what they have as mistakes, which they thought were good or not, and we can catch all of that. And now we also build a team environment. Now the team can actually say what that person did wrong and what they can improve on. So that's something we've actually implemented in our business lately because it really increases the skill for soft skills. Yeah. A lot of people don't do that. And the biggest thing about why a service company doesn't do well or why everybody's scared to be going to the service side and they want construction because they don't have to deal with customers is not because it's hard, it's because they just don't want to train to deal with customers. The procedures are not there and training's not there.
Now, role playing is kind of awkward sometimes for a lot of people and it becomes really gimmicky and they joke around and people can't take it seriously. How do you get your guys to like take it seriously? Like understand that like when you're on that stage, it's a customer in front of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it would be difficult to get guys to take it somewhat seriously.
Oh, it was hard. And then you gotta know that when you first do that, a lot of people, my whole team especially, they were shy. they were just thinking it was a joke. But, you know, I put on a serious face. I say, no, that's not how you do it. We all take it seriously. And then I lead by example, and I do an example myself. And I show them what I want them to do as a perfect example. And I tell them, this is not a joke. This is something that we specifically have to train on all the time. And the second time we did it, nobody was laughing, like even less laughter. Third time we did it, everybody was serious, and everybody tries to hit all these marks now. So it's just repetition of being able to do it and having people comfortable with it. If some people don't want to do it, it means they don't want to grow the business.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're shy or not, because you have to understand, as a service tech at the end of the day, this shit's important. This is what you signed up for. And if you can't even do the least of talking in front of your peers, you can't even talk to a customer properly.
Yeah, I can see that.
Practice, practice. We're talking about practice. and that's a really important thing that, like, and that's why I'm saying the biggest thing that people aren't training nowadays is soft skills, because everybody just thinks, oh, fuck, I just need to be great at what I do. I got to read a lot of books and I can just go on Google shit and I'll know everything. Yeah, you do. But if you don't have those customer skills, what the fuck are you selling?
You don't know how to talk to people, man, that's a big thing too. Like these days, a lot of people are socially awkward and they can't talk to customers and they don't know how to, and they don't have the gift of the gab. Like I've always had the gift of the gab. I could talk to anyone. And like I can have a relationship with anyone, and that's why I'm good at service, because I can do that. But you got to get people out of their shells and teach them how to do that. Not just plumbing, understanding customers. Because really at the end of the day, you're only as good as your last technician. You're only as good as your last technicians. You know what I mean? Like if I have a technician that's a dickhead and coming off as a dickhead, I'm going to have the client call me and be like, what's wrong with your plumber? You know what I mean? He's not representing the business that I thought I was getting. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you have businesses that are consistently with you, let's say I was on the road all the time and now I'm vouching for the guy. That's your Irish half. The gift of the gab, that's what I think you're talking about.
The gab, yeah. That is his Irish half. He just doesn't stop talking sometimes. I've heard the same story from him like 20 times.
That's because I like to drink and tell the same story 20 times. No, man, but it's true. You gotta teach them how to talk to customers. Like if you're miserable with your customer, if the customer's used to dealing with me and then I send someone, I vouch for him, but then they're not happy with him because he has an attitude, or you know what I mean, then you're ruining your reputation.
That's a large gap in the industry, right? Like there's people that have those skills, but there's also people who are really smart, and I don't ever think a bad thing about these smart people. And the thing that they do have to know, you know, we always talk about these in our previous podcasts. It's not about just how smart you are. It's about how you convey these messages and how you can convey it as a business as well.
Yeah.
Because one, there is no free lunch. And two, with this education, you can do so much more with it if you had the soft skills. If you're just talking a bunch of shit and so much education, a customer doesn't understand that. You got to learn out how to sift that shit enough where you can actually sell it too and be personable. So part of our role playing that we put on all the time too, which we put as a procedure, is that one, you can't just be fucking going to a customer's house to fix their shit. Yeah, that's cool. They're going to be happy with that. But you have to learn how to talk to them. Like, how's your weekend? Think about that. You know, I don't know how many people are service guys here, but a really important side of service is actually talking to your customer. You want them to stop being a cunt behind you and looking over your shoulder and looking at their fucking time. Be a fucking person. Talk to them. Ask them how their weekend was. Ask them what sport they played. Did they watch the fucking NFL? Did they watch fucking hockey? Talk about the games. Talk about, find interests that are related to you so that you can actually be more personable.
Well, you're going around their house. You're in their personal space. I mean, I'm sure you can find something that in their house, like, hey, my mom has that painting. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, get into what their background is. Find something to connect with them, because then when you're connecting, you can talk with them while you're working, and then they start to like loosen up with you, right?
So, 100%.
And then they trust you more, dude. We're in an age where everybody's feel like they're getting sold something, right? Like look at all the HVAC companies that are out there like lying to customers about cracks in their heat exchanger where they needed a whole new furnace, and they don't know anything, right? So they're feeling like they're being tricked. You got to go in there and you got to earn their trust before that you can start telling them what they actually need, right? So And it's scary because you go in there and you have to be like, oh, I'm not trying to sell you. I'm just trying to explain what could go wrong in here. We'll fix it for you. You know what I mean?
It's true.
So,
it's very true. And those are those things that, you know, goes back to company. Everything comes in with the company skills and why we started doing role playing. So these are the things that we wanted to share today. The other thing that we wanted to share is effective communication. So within a company, when we talk about company things, one of the biggest things is effective communication. And a lot of people, especially men, you know, like there's things that we have to admit sometimes, and we're all terrible at it. But as a company owner, and as I'm learning more, it's just that there's a lot of things that you cannot always deal as a company owner yourself, which is what I was telling Adam or I was talking to Graham yesterday as well. I told him that if one of my technicians has another problem with another technician, I can play as HR and I can talk to the other person. But it doesn't work out as well or easy as that sometimes, because I could just cut it down right away because I'm the owner and say, okay, we're cutting that off. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Now I got to talk to you. But instead, to grow a team and to have effective communication, you have to tell your guys to talk to the other person. It can't be you babysitting this guy and saying, hey, this guy told me this, so I want to talk to you about it. It doesn't work like that. You have to make sure that your guys are being accountable for their own feelings, for their own actions. And if they're not happy about the other person, they have to talk to them specifically, because if that doesn't happen, you're not building a team environment. You're building an environment where this guy's always tattletaling on each other, where, oh, this guy has a problem, that guy has a problem, I have a problem with this guy. It's always going to be a revolving door because these guys don't know how to communicate with each other.
Yeah, hold each other accountable. Like I said, man, you gotta let your guys be accountable for each other. And if someone's doing something that they don't believe is right, you gotta have that guy step up and say, you know, I think that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing it this way, this and that. It's looking bad on all of our work. Let's pick it up.
100%. And this lines up with what we're talking about for all these company things, because if you want to be a technician and you want to move up in that whole skill trade, it goes back to, you know, a couple of episodes we talked about again. This is called building the value of yourself and building your skill set. Because if you don't build the skill set of talking and having effective communication, you can't be in a management. You can't lead a team. You can't do all the other shit. You can always be the fucking tech that you want to be and be paid this certain amount. But how can you ever get that free life that you want to be, where you're quoting jobs or doing random other stuff or helping the company do different work or manage your own schedule? You can't, because you can't even manage yourself to effectively communicate. How can you effectively manage yourself for other things? So
some people aren't just made for that though too, right?
Oh, 100%. If you're not made for that, that's another conversation, right? You don't have to do that, but knowing that when you have a good company, I would never say some people aren't made for that. It's just that, do they want to push themselves for that?
Yeah.
Because when we have these company things that we're talking about, where company meetings, roles and all that stuff, they don't know if they can do it, but they were never given that goal. So if you give these goals and you plan it carefully and you have these 30, 60, 90, 120, 180 days, all those goal planning that you have, and they actually are able to hit all those things, they are actually able to do a lot more than they believe, because a lot of times they assume that they couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's another thing about, you know, when Plumbing Skater was asking, how do you have somebody motivated? Those are the things. You have to build them up for it.
Yeah. You have to, and setting goals. Goals as well. You know what I mean? Did we discuss goals yet? I know we were going to bring up goals and having our technicians set goals for themselves, and we set goals for them as well.
We discussed that. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, when you discuss goals, one of the biggest things that I do is that I also discuss my own goals.
Yeah.
With my employees, because I want them to know what I'm in here for. To let them know that as much as I'm creating a goal for them, I want them to see me achieve my goals, to make them know that this is what I'm doing as well, that I'm together with you.
Yeah.
But everybody has their own goals, and how am I going to achieve my goals, and how are you going to achieve your goals? And it creates a personal relation as well. It's not to BS them, but it's to actually show that we're all trying to grow ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't think that because you're the owner, you're the manager, or if they're the manager, they're the owner, they have everything figured out. Nobody has everything figured out.
I'm the first to admit to my guys, hey man, I really, I don't know what I'm doing on this one. Let's figure it out together. You know what I mean? Like, I tell them, I'm like, I'm figuring this stuff out just as much as you're figuring this stuff out. You know what I mean? Like, I might have more years of experience on you, and some things I have more years of experience on you, and I understand it, but like, Every day I'm trying to figure it out, so let's figure it out together.
It's
You know what I
true.
mean?
And sorry, go ahead.
I don't have the answers for everything, and there's always an instruction book and there's the internet. You can figure everything out.
You can.
You can figure
You
everything.
just have to have the heart to do it,
Yeah.
which is the
Yeah.
biggest thing. One more final thing that we're going to put into today's company things. We're going to talk about relationship building. And within a company, there's a couple things about relationship building. Maybe we're trying to talk about two, three things on this, but the first thing I want to talk about is when you have a company, you have to create the environment. And how do you create an environment for motivation? Again, is one of the things that we're doing is company events. One very important thing is company events. You cannot create a culture without having events.
Yeah.
And as much as everybody works hard and all that stuff, don't be that owner that's always counting your cash and thinking how much you're making and how much you have to spend on your guys. Make them feel that you actually want to spend that money on them. Do those classes and make events because those are the times where they bring their significant other. Their significant other also can see what the company's about. And
That's important too.
yep.
Bringing their significant other into company events, not just them. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like bringing their significant other, making them a part of the business, because you're pulling that employee away from their family and them
100%.
for so long. So you need to make sure they know that their time is valued
Yeah,
where they're
and
spending
we
it.
value that, and we also value that their significant other accepts that fact sometimes that this guy's a superhero, that we may need that guy to come out on a Saturday night sometimes.
Yeah.
And yeah, yes, he is put on that schedule, but we really appreciate it. That's why we also want their significant other out there
Yeah.
so that they understand and they can see that we actually care about them and that we want them to accept that fact. So
How
that's a very
many
important way.
events per year would you recommend?
Oh
What are you
fuck, as
thinking?
many as you can. As
So
many as
you
you
always take your, I'm always seeing you take your guys out for dinner and doing stuff.
Oh
I'm like, holy
hell yeah.
shit. Your
Hell
guys
yeah.
are spoiled. There's a lot of companies that don't even take their guys out
Oh
once.
hell yeah. I
It's
built
like a
my company.
Christmas party.
Dude, I built my company based. Yes, I'm
Yeah.
licensed. Adam's licensed. I can show you
I'm
my number
licensed.
if you need. You can even find me online on Vancouver Business. My license is on there. Or
Also,
SkillTrades
mine too.
BC.
Skilled Trades Ontario. You can look my name up. You'll find me on there, my Red Seal number.
But yes, going back to that, events per year, very, very important. And the reason why I do so many events is because back in the day when I joined all my companies, it's always one fucking event.
Yeah.
End of the year, that's it. Sometimes they take you to this place, sometimes they take you to that place. It's at somebody's house. It's like shitty food, a shitty barbecue, and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's not shitty, it's from the heart. That's when you
Yeah.
feel it. But when you have one event, hell no.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are going through with you thick and thin, in and out, going to some overtime here and there. It's like, even if I don't have consistent events throughout the day, there are
Retirees.
times where I go out to a certain job where I meet two guys and I'll bring them out to lunch. There's another two guys I bring them out to lunch. But for what I try to do explicitly now is we always have an event per month.
Per month,
Every
yeah.
yeah,
And
and
it
then
seems like you're doing like more team building, where it's like maybe it's not focused plumbing wise, it's more like you guys did the baking just the other
Yeah,
day,
we
right?
did macaron making. That was fucking fun.
Yeah. And like what's that cost you? Like what's your rough cost on an event that you go out
That
for?
costed me 1,100 and a lot of happiness.
That's what, $1,100, you take your guys out. Well, you know what? Like it's definitely something I gotta think about being able to do more. And like maybe I wouldn't do it every month, but at least try and do it every few months, maybe every quarter.
Yeah,
You know what I
every
mean?
quarter is nice too. You don't have to do what I do. It's just that the way that I do it is just what I didn't like in the trade, right? And I try to overcompensate that, and I really want to. I appreciate my guys a lot, and I think that sometimes those are the things that you can give back to them if there are certain things that they do for you as well.
Yeah.
Just depending how much they give back, but my guys are very good at giving back, and I give more than I can take is what I always try.
Yeah. Yeah, but
So.
it's tough, man. You're as an owner, you're really taking the time of their lives from them. You know what I mean? You're robbing them of time of their lives for fun, money, but I mean, at least they know that they're appreciated when they come.
No, especially, and we had great food afterwards. So the event cost 1,100, and then
Yeah.
fucking Michael was like, "Oh, let's go to Hot Pot," and then I was just like, "Okay, sure, we're gonna go Hot Pot," and then we spent another 800 at Hot Pot, right? So
Yeah.
the whole day ended up
God
being
damn,
two
Michael.
grand.
God damn,
Goddamn,
Michael.
Michael. But those are the things we don't mind. Like, you want those guys to be happy. Like, they deserve it, and as long as they see that you're out for them, they're gonna always reciprocate. And you have to understand that that's just human nature. If they don't reciprocate, that's also fine, because another lesson that we can learn about company things is, what was I gonna say? Is that I just got lost in my train of thought. But give more than you take, and or expectations, that's what it is. I'll give so much, but I won't have expectations for it.
Mike, you owe some overtime. Extra $800 in
So
overtime.
those are both employees. One of them is my girlfriend, and the other one's Jason. But yeah, I robbed them of their innocence, apparently. Sorry, not
They robbed them
robbed
of
them
their
of their
innocence.
Innocence and their youth. No, but that's essentially what we're talking about. Like, you just give without expectations, and if they reciprocate, they reciprocate. If they don't expect it, but always be the bigger person at the end of the day. Because people, there are humans, and some people are humans at the end of the day, and they will
Some
reciprocate things.
people are humans. What kind of people are you hiring? Are you hiring a are aliens? Are you hiring aliens?
No, we're not hiring aliens. We're just saying people as in being a person. Some people don't think about being a person, right? And that's part of the soft skill. And maybe one more thing that we want to talk about. I don't know about you, about hiring processes lately, but as you're hiring, you find out the differences between the age now, because we've had a lot of boomers that are leaving, and the other side of people who are coming in are the Gen Zs, or even the Gen Alphas. We're not
So,
going to go deep into this identification stuff.
half of my guys identify as humans.
But from what I mean is just that it's tough, like the way that they're being trained nowadays, and it's more about feelings as well. And a lot of people need to know, as a company, as you're growing with the younger age, that people have choices. A lot of people actually can do just affiliate marketing. They can just do shit online and make a shit ton of money. If you want to keep people, it goes back to what we talk about. You need an actual company where people want to stay. Mission statement, core values, company meetings, roles, and goals.
I mean, you have to, like you said, they have options. They have options in plumbing too. You know what I mean? A lot of companies are looking for experienced guys, and if your guy is good and you want to treat him well, you treat him well while he's there, and make him not want to leave. Train him and treat him so well that he doesn't want to leave, right? So that's tough right now. And a lot of people, I think the old school companies are like, whatever, leave, you'll be back. And they're losing a lot of those guys, truthfully.
The mentality is kind of shifting, and a lot of people don't really understand that side. And there's going to be a lot of changes, especially, maybe something that we're talking about is next episode. Let's talk about AI. I think there's a lot
That's a
of
big one.
things that people don't know that they could be doing with AI. And if you want to listen in on that next time, I don't know, how's your time on Thursday next week?
Thursday's fine.
Okay,
Thursday's fine.
so let's set it up. And I think the next one that we're going to be talking about that we really want to touch on the topic is AI. How to use AI for your business, how to use AI for your personal gains, how to use AI as a technician, how to use
You
AI to automate your processes.
actually showed me AI. Like I understood, like I used it a little bit, but you really like you it, like it could be used for a lot of stuff. It makes my life a
Oh
lot
yeah,
easier for a
I
lot of
will blow your
things.
fucking mind even more. By the way, I might come out on the 28 or the 29, actually, so we might catch up.
Really?
Yeah, surprise.
Nice. Yeah, yay.
Actually, I might go to the construct show and have an excuse to visit a couple people down there. You, including you.
Me, a construction show. Oh, I should look into that.
Construct whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
Construct building from the 29th to the 30th.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, expert plumbing. Yeah, definitely. Let's
Oh yeah, we'll
set it
set
up,
something
Adam.
up with him. Yeah, we'll set it up with him. He's just down the street from me in the shop.
That's perfect.
And we can all go out for food and drinks and go from there. You'll be out with two Irish guys.
Oh boy. I'll just drink water. Bring your weed. I can actually bring it back. I can actually bring it back, I remember.
You can. I got lots, and maybe I won't bring put it on camera, but
But no, that's a great talk today. Hopefully, I think we've had a pretty good wave of people today staying in.
yeah,
Hope you get
exactly.
to learn
We're
something
around
out of it.
15, 15 to 20 the whole time.
That was amazing.
I had some great questions too, which is awesome.
Yeah. For AI next week, if you guys have anything, cater your questions, prepare your questions, because there's a lot that I could answer, and I think it'd be very valuable for business and yourself. And hopefully you guys did learn a lot today. I pounded the shit out of that information. I just wrote some notes, and I think, man, we hit some points.
AKA you used AI to find questions for the
show. I didn't even do that today. Actually, check it out.
What's up?
I have like my notes right here.
PS Plumber, crazy. You guys are boring. Hey, PS. Get PS in here.
Get PS
in here for 5 minutes. He says we're boring.
Let me
see. He's boring.
You're boring, clown shoe.
I don't ride a fucking bicycle with a rocket on the back of it. Did you see that photo today?
No, I did.
Oh,
let's get this. We're practically done today, but if you guys want to stay and hang out a bit, you're free to hang out. But PS, what are you doing?
I'm still in the van working, bro.
You're boring.
You're boring. What are you doing?
I'm headed out because the stores, it's 8:20 here, you know, on the East Coast, so I'm trying to get parts. I just crushed out a little job. Like, you know, it's one of those companies came in, didn't pull permits, then they had to get licensed plumbers and shit in. So then I came in and had to, you know, pull this off and push off other shit to get their stuff going.
I hope they paid you double.
They're paying you double right now.
So, yeah, I'm just like trying to get shit together and get this done. But no, I was just kidding with boring. Get him in here now.
I know. I'm like, you said, I'm high. So, what was I going to say? I wanted to get you in here because you said we were boring and your lives are really exciting with Aiden.
With Aiden? He said, what up?
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Actually, before we leave, what's your take? How far have you listened for the company? Like, how many employees do you have right now, PS?
Or right now, it's just me and a part-time guy, you know? Like, you know, normally we used to have, you know, between 5 and 7 guys on, and that was, it was hectic. I mean, I don't know how guys run 20, 30 guys. It's been a challenge to find people that I want.
Yeah.
In my truck.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it really
you
is.
You had quite a few employees though. We talked for like 45 minutes the one time when I called you and like you were saying you had like six guys at one time.
I had 2 full time guys that just did new construction and, you know, got like renovation, got jobs. I had 2 guys that only did HVAC work.
Yeah.
And that was it. I had a service guy that ran around and we had a couple helpers and we had another guy that did a lot of tin work and stuff too.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. And then it just dropped off. You just stopped.
Well, it's like 2 of my best guys decided to go back into the union and they both got foreman positions making really fucking good money working out of New York City.
Yeah.
And then one of my HVAC guys that was, you know, at the time he was like 46 years old. He lost his license forever because he liked the sauce too much. another guy, you know, the other HVAC guy was a really cool dude. I still talk to him. He started his own duct cleaning and HVAC business, like more service and duct cleaning. My service guy started his own business, and he's doing all right with that. I still talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had many other people in and out, but those were my staple guys, you know.
That's a hard thing. Well, sometimes when you have entrepreneurs who want to have their own business, like I tell my guys all the time, and I tell people all the time as well, if you hire a guy that wants his own business, you ain't going to stop that.
No.
The best thing you can do is take the amount of years that you can from them and get a promise from them because they have integrity. They will stay for the 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is.
We were literally talking about this last night with Mike, SoCal Mike, and same thing. He's like... There was guys saying in California that, like, they don't want, if you have a master's license, they don't want to hire you. And I'm like, to me, it's a good thing. And I mean, if guys want to go start their business, they're going to go do it anyway.
Yeah.
Or get that anyway. It just shows that they took their career, craft. How serious they were, then their craft a little more serious and went to that level. Because the fact is, if people want to start, it's a good thing at some point, as long as they're going to give you some return on your investment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For what you're putting 100%. Into them, like you're saying. And then sometimes it's good because these guys already started their own businesses. And now they're like, you know what? This is not for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. It really isn't. The business part of it. And Terrence, that's where you rule supreme. And that's where I don't like the business part of it. I don't like the money part of it. I don't even like going to get Paul. I like sitting and doing the work. I like figuring shit out.
Yeah.
I don't like dealing with people anymore. Yesterday alone, I told more than two people just exactly who Mr. Garrison's balls can be sucked. I was just like, hey, dude. I was like, I'm fucking done with this. Like, I don't need this in my life. Like, you owe me all this money. You're mad at me because I won't come back out. Like, I'm busy. You know what I mean? It's like, people don't get it. Like, I mean, I lit up people yesterday. I was like on a rampage because people would have shit to say. And I'm like, bro, I'm like, so a couple of them is people like acquaintances and friends. And I'm like, how much money have I ever gotten from you in my fucking life?
Yeah.
A goose egg.
Yeah.
Eat a dick. That's it. Like, you're not like you're making it sound like you're loyal to me and waiting. You're waiting for me because you want a deal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to hook you up.
Yeah.
You're not, you know what I mean? Like, there's people that another person, they're mad because I didn't get to their job. Like, you called me second. You called my friend, who's less of a friend to you than me. And it's like, yo, that dude doesn't have a license. You know what I'm saying? Then they're now you call me, and then you say to that guy, oh, well, you know how he is. Yeah, you know how I am. Not doing your shit. You know what I mean? Like, people think it's a joke. And, like, the same thing with the people with the prices. And I'm like, you know what? Guess where I'm going to be tomorrow? I'm going to still be working. Like, why am I going to go? Another dude the other day called me and he was mad I wouldn't go look at his job. He said he called 13 plumbers, dude. I was like,
he's a dickhead.
I was like, I'm not going to be the 14th guy. I was like, you already fucked 12 people out of their time.
Yeah.
If you called three people or something, man, fine. But I was like, dude, I'm done. I like, there's zero chance that you're going to get me at your house.
As soon as we hear that all the time, our vetting process is just like, nope.
No.
Well, we'll still give them a price. But we talked about this today, right? One of our biggest things is when people call us, we always say, what's your name and what's your address? If you're not willing to give us any of that, we're not going to give you a price. The reason why we do it is, one, we call it quality control. And two, we want to make sure that we're taking as much time from you as possible because you've already took our time to answer the phone. If you just wanted a fucking price and you want to say thank you, bye, you're not allowed to do that until you give us your name and your address and your email address and your phone number.
Yeah. Some of it makes sense.
I had a customer, actually, she wanted me to break down. She wanted me to change all her toilets in her house and change this vanity and this faucet and this and that. And I broke down the quote. And then she came back and she's like, why are you charging me this much for this faucet when I can get it from Home Depot for this much? And I was like, because I'm not going to warranty the one that you buy from Home Depot. And I had to break it down for her. And then she asked me to break down her quote into like how much it is to change this faucet in this bathroom. And like, I'll break it all down. And I ended up giving her a quote and just being like, this is how it is. If you don't like it this way, you can find somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste any more time breaking down your quote into fucking pennies and cents and then you picking it apart. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either.
Never.
No.
Never. We never do a breakdown. And it's good you did that. We have our meeting today with one of our customers and we were telling him the same thing, just an understanding. And I think, like, you know, sometimes we should make these videos and make it more apparent to a lot of homeowners. It's just that, why do you not have your own faucets? Like, it might sound like it's not rocket science to us, but sometimes people are just oblivious to it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know that if they're missing a fucking part that we got to drive out. They're not business people. They're not management. They just think that for some reason with you having a fully stocked van that somehow is fully stocked of everything. And that if they were to give you a faucet and they didn't have any parts that you're somehow going to warranty that shit. And somehow that if they don't have these parts that you can drive out, but it's going to be the same cost for you to do an install. They don't think about your cost for gas. They don't think about your guy driving.
Expert said, would you consider putting prices on your website?
No.
The drive thing is an interesting concept because I had this talk a while back. I might even talk to Adam about it just recently. But I got this customer that was like bitching about the price and just to come out. And I'm like, listen. You take an Uber to LaGuardia, it's 45 minutes for you. You're paying that guy $200.
Oh,
you know, $190. And I'm like, I'm doing the same thing, but I've got $500,000 in tools and 25 years experience coming to, I'm doing what he's doing, and then I'm coming to fucking work, but you got a problem with giving me the money, but you'll give it to fucking Hashmir. I'm like, what do you mean?
I say the same thing. I don't understand.
It's $259 to get my ass out there to even assess what you've got going on. And you'll give $200 to this guy that just sits there driving his car. I'm doing the same thing and then going back.
And you'll add a tip.
Yo, it's the same thing as Uber. I break it down at Uber. You know what I mean? People are like, why is that fill valve? Why are you charging me twice as much for that fill valve as I would get it at Home Depot? It's like, because I'm stocking it in my truck. It's like Uber. You're going to pay the extra money for the food for them to deliver to your house because of convenience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you have no
DoorDash and KFC for counter rate. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just is what it is.
And they don't question that shit, but they question plumbers.
No, I know. And it's just like paying. Yeah. You don't go anywhere. You don't get a fucking latte. You don't get a newspaper. You don't get a pizza. None of that shit without coughing up the dough. But they think we're like Capital One, and they can owe us $1,500, and it'll be like, oh, we don't have 30 days to pay you? What do you mean?
We should be like what Tactical Plumber says. We need a tip option, you know? And then after we finish our work, we just throw that screen in their face for a $1,000 bill. 18%, 20%, or 25%?
Yeah. I'll keep going. It'd be like 18, 29, 25, 50.
30.
It's the thing. If somebody was talking about tips just recently with like even the diners and the restaurants and every restaurateur was like, oh, I'm like, yeah, like the fact is it makes sense to me. I want to know why can't we just make it so that you pay them what they need to admit, but whatever it is, and just make the food cost this and then you know what it is.
5%, that's what I always say to my girlfriend. They're like, you don't get it. You know, they're going to win.
I'm like, God, don't get it. It's like because the restaurant owners don't want to pay them the rate, right? And again, if not enough people come in, you make less. And they don't lose no matter what. They pay you this minimum number. Some companies, I'm sure, some restaurants are paying more. But it's like, dude, we got to pay guys whatever, $50, $60 an hour, and they're going to cost us $80, you know, or more, you know, with comp and payroll taxes. It's like these guys don't offer anything. And they just like, oh, well, they make it sound like they're victims or something. It's like you fucking have a restaurant that makes bank.
Fucking insane. One thing employees don't know is payroll taxes. I pay like
yo, again, anybody on here that's an employee and is mad about their rate, let me just break this down. Let's just say in very simple terms, if I pay you $25 an hour, which no one works for anymore, that'll make it even $1,000 at a 40-hour week. Yeah. If you claim zero on your W-2, for taxes and they take your maximum deduction out, let's say it's $367, right? So now you get your $1,000 minus $367. I corporately have to match that, my own check, same thing. So now you cost me $1,367 and then I have 21% comp on that. That adds another $200. Now I paid you $1,567. Then unemployment, liability, disability, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden $1,000, what cost $1,000 really cost me almost double that.
Yeah.
Because of all the fees and the taxes and shit. So if you're somebody pays you $50 an hour, you're probably costing your employer like $90.
Well, what for payment, to go back to payment though, like with you guys, like you're mostly service, Terrence, so you get paid when the service is done. But for like your boilers and stuff, when you're quoting, what's your max? Like when you hit $5,000, you need 50% up front. Like what's your max to front up for a project?
Oh, no, anything over $1,000 is already 50%. We don't really fuck around. Yeah.
Anything over $1,000. What about you, Chris?
It depends on the customer. It depends on the urgency. It depends on how I know I'm getting paid. Like anything that's a bigger job or something that's going to be, I'm going to shell out more than a few $100. Like,
We stopped playing with the word depend, because no matter how you depend on somebody, sometimes you cannot fucking trust that guy.
No,
yeah.
Or woman.
It makes total sense what you're saying. I'm always in a rush. Like what I'm doing right now, I don't have time to be doing this. I don't want to be doing it. Last night I got home at 12. Sunday I got home super late.
Yeah.
But generally I want to be paid at least so that I'm not going to lose if they don't pay me my last payment.
It's true.
Are you at Home Depot?
I'm at Lowe's.
All right, we're not going to keep you. I think we're gonna hit our hour mark soon, but yeah. You know, appreciate very much for you giving that, you know, fireside information. That was amazing. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'll catch you guys back.
And we'll catch you guys next week. We're going to talk about AI. So thank you everybody for coming today.
Yeah.
Have a good night. Thanks, PS.
Love you guys.